How's it going? Doing all right? So today is a special Sunday morning because today we get to celebrate birth and life and children. And one of the things maybe you've noticed here at Awaken over the past couple of months is there has been a lot of screaming babies. So we are thrilled to be dedicating four babies this morning here at Awaken. And one of them is mine, so that is just, wow. I was joking with Steph this morning. I'm like, man, once a week I have bring your son to work day. So my son gets to come to work with me once a week. It is amazing. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And a dedication is, it's a public acknowledgement that these families, these parents are making, where they're saying, we want to raise our child, our son, our daughter, as a follower of Jesus. We want to entrust our son, our daughter, into the hands of God. I need a little wisdom, which for all you new parents out there, yeah, we could use all the wisdom that's out there. And so that's what today is, this public declaration. And also it's for us as a congregation, us as a community, to come alongside all of us new parents and say, we are in this with you, and we're here to support you on your journey. So that's what we're going to be doing today. And I thought that we would start by looking at a passage in Deuteronomy that talks about loving God and raising children. And we, then after that, I'm going to make a whole bunch of observations, just a few, actually. Because here's the thing. What I've learned, this is my first rodeo as a parent. I'm only like 10 months into this thing. So I'm going to make just some observations, some things that I've discovered along the way and some things that some of my mentors have passed along to me. Because I'm like you. I'm just figuring this thing out as I go. It's basically what me and Steph are doing. We're just figuring it out as we go, which seems to be how you stumble into everything in life. So I'll make a couple observations, and then we will have a special dedication ceremony, and then it'll be time for lunch. How's that sound this morning? So let's start in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. It just seems right, doesn't it? Deuteronomy, child dedication, just fits, right? Are you with me on this? So these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. The great man Moses laying down his final sermon. So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you. And so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, if we look specifically at verse 7, hold on one second. Verse 7 tells us, we go to the next slide. Yes. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. In other words, these commands that Moses is giving, they're to be on your hearts at all times. They're to just simply be how you live your life. And these commands, you are to impress them. Actually, the Hebrew word means to sharpen. You are to sharpen them on your children. Now, this raises two extremely important questions for us today. The first, well, which commands are to be on your heart? Which commands are we talking about here? Then the second question for us is, how and when do you impress or sharpen them on your children? If we'll notice, before Moses gives this invitation to keep these commands on your heart, in verse 4, there is something that has become known as the Shema. Maybe you've heard of this before. Now, Shema is the Hebrew word for hear. Now, this prayer that we find here, the Shema, over time, it became a central teaching of the Torah. It became a central teaching of the law. By the time of Jesus, in the Second Temple period, this was almost like a creed. And this would have been a phrase, a statement, this would have been a prayer, a blessing that those who strictly followed Judaism would have recited twice a day when they rose in the morning and when they lay down at night to go to bed. This, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God." Now, there are a few different ways in which this verse, this creed, has been translated. And your NIV, sorry, I hate to break it to you, but your NIV probably is not the best translation. Go figure. Most scholars actually believe that the best translation of this verse, of this creed, this statement, the best way to get to the heart of what Moses is saying here would be, if you go to the next slide, "The Lord is our God, the Lord alone." This sentence would have been on the lips of people twice a day. See, in the ancient world, it was just assumed that there were all different gods floating around. An assured fact. It was just something that you grew to believe. It's almost like for us today, money in the bank, we can't see it, but we believe that it's there. And so in the ancient world, it was believed that there's a whole bunch of different gods out there somewhere who are kind of looking out and seeing how things work in life, moving the chess pieces around. And so this statement here, it's an invitation to fully entrust your life first to Yahweh. The Lord, Yahweh, is our God. Not all the other gods that you've heard about, not all the other gods that people worship, that people make sacrifices to, but devote yourself solely to Yahweh, the true God. Now I understand. I get it. We look at this and we're like, a whole bunch of gods, multiplicity of gods, come on. That's so primal. I mean, for some of us, we actually have a hard time believing in just one God, do we not? But yet, for the ancients, were they really that much different than us? Think about all the celebrities, the philosophical beliefs, the things that we devote our lives to. Consumerism, our economy, our stock portfolio, the pursuit of pleasure, nationalism. Maybe we don't call these things gods. Are they not after the same thing? The pledging of our heart, the giving of ourselves to a person or to a belief? Yeah, maybe we don't call them gods like the ancients did, but yet we still have these same gods all around us in our lives today. These things that vie for our hearts, these things that vie for our attention. These things that scream at us, place your loyalty, your trust, your faith here. Pursue this with the totality of your being. So we understand having multiple gods, multiple things that crowd out our inner heart space. Now, this idea to love God, this would have been something that was completely unheard of in the ancient world. The fact that you could actually love the divine beings, because if you're alive at this time, you follow the gods simply for what they could give you, because they could make your crops grow. They could bring the rain, and if you say the right incantation, if you have the right prayer, then you will get the gods on your side. Or you follow the gods so that the gods do not strike you down. And you got to make sure that you give the right sacrifice, because if you don't give the right sacrifice, that god's coming to get you. Then you're on the god's bad side. And so the fact that now you can enter into a loving relationship with the God who created and sustains the universe, this was a huge step forward in human evolution. This was a huge step forward in human consciousness. This is actually the first time that loving God is mentioned here in the Torah. The fact that the God who created all that you see, the God who sustains your very life, loves you and longs for that love to be reciprocated. This was revolutionary. This would have been a crazy idea if you're alive in the world at this time. And now Jesus picks up on this idea, where he's asked a little bit later, well, what does it mean to love God? Which commands do I have to follow? Because, see, what the Jewish faith has understood is that love isn't simply a thing of feelings. Oh, I feel love. And you kind of keep it in here, those squishy, soft feelings. But rather, love is something that is lived out. Love is something that is love is physical. It's something that is acted out. So the way you show your love to God, the way you show your loyalty to God, is you live it out with your life. And so when Jesus is asked, well, which commands? How do I live in such a way that I show love to God? Let's look at Matthew chapter 27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Do we notice a similar phrase? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul. This is the first, this is the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. In other words, the way we follow God is to live out love. The way we follow God is to show love. So when you're asking, is this following God? Am I following God with my life? Ask yourself, well, is it promoting love for yourself? Is it promoting love for your neighbor? Is it promoting love for the creation? Because the way that you love yourself, the way that you love your neighbor, the way that you love the creation that you've been placed in, that is the way that you love God. How you treat God's creation, including all of us, is how you show your love and your loyalty to God. How you treat your fellow human is how you love God. Because if you cannot love that who you can see, how is it that you can't, that you can love God who you haven't seen? Yeah, this idea of love is central for following God. And it's this command of love that Moses tells the Israelites that many years ago, that you are to impress on your children. So the next question for us, well, how and when do you impress these commands? How and when do you impress love on your children? The answer, all the time. All the time. We go to the next slide. What we noticed is that, oh, sorry, not that one. One more. Oh, man, I don't know. The slides got all messed up this morning. So you'll notice that, yes, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. All the time. You're teaching your kids all the time. And sometimes you're using words. Sometimes you use words, but you're teaching your kids all the time. See, for me, the times that I've learned the most from my parents, it wasn't when they're like, all right, at 8 o'clock, we're going to teach you for a half an hour, so you better sit down for 30 minutes because we're giving you a lesson on this. But it was the times when we were in the car, running errands. I learned the most from my parents. I remember we would go on vacation every single summer to the beach, and we'd be gone for 2 weeks. So we wouldn't go to church on a Sunday morning. And whatever those Sundays were that we were gone from church, we would get together and we would do a little Bible study, which was great. But I'll tell you this, I don't remember, sorry, Mom and Dad, I don't remember any of those lessons that we talked about on those Sunday mornings. But do you know what I do remember? I remember how my parents treated our elderly widow neighbor. I remember how after she lost her license, my parents would go over there and check in on her all the time to make sure that she was doing all right, especially when the power went out. Hey, are you okay? Anything we can get you at the store? I remember how they treated the neighbor, how they showed love. See, because you can talk about it all you want. You can teach your kids through words all you want. But if your life doesn't match what you're teaching with your words, are the kids, are they really going to believe it? I remember how I learned so much from my parents about how they talked about the neighbors, about how they talked about the people in the church family. And I don't think I ever remember my parents ever gossiping or talking smack about Sally at church or Jim down the street. So I learned to respect people just in how you speak about them. The tones that you use around your kids, the way in which you talk about others, your kids pick this up. I've noticed this so early on with Reese. He already knows when me and Steph aren't paying attention to him. So if we're sitting on the floor with him and we're on our phone or if we're watching TV, he starts doing this fake cry now because he wants our attention. Yeah, our kids pick up every little thing. I learned from my parents the importance of making time for your church family, making time for church life. And I would play soccer on Sunday mornings, and there were many Sundays where I'd be there for the early service in the morning, and then quickly I would go in the bathroom and change, and I would have my uniform on underneath all of my church clothes. And I would quickly take off the church clothes, get in the car, then go to the soccer game. Because my parents made church life a priority. I remember learning from them the importance of family, the importance of sacrificing, so that you can be there to watch your kids grow up. I think my dad was at every single high school soccer game that I played at, for me and for my sister. And he would bring a cowbell. I think first it started with an air horn. So he had an air horn. Every time our team would score a goal, air horn would go off. Then there was a cowbell as well. You know what? Our team loved it. Like, is your dad going to be here? Is he bringing the cowbell? Yeah, that's what I remember. I remember my dad, who stayed up with me countless nights when I said I would never do this again. I would never write an essay the night before it was due ever again. And yet somehow, a week later, there I was, 11 o'clock at night, writing that English essay that I would give my dad so that he could edit for me to make sure that I did well on it. I think he secretly liked it because he got to stay up late and watch baseball. Yeah, that's how I learned growing up. That's how our kids are going to learn from us parents. That's how the world learns from all of us. Maybe you're not a parent here this morning. But people are watching you. People are watching how you live your life. People are watching to see if the things that you say match up with how you're living your life. So when are you teaching your kids these commands? All the time. When you're driving in the car and you get cut off, how do you respond to that person who cuts you off? Just saying. I feel like we got a little nervous in the room here. What about even when you're paying the bills? How you spend your money, what you're spending your money on. Your kids pick up on this. the places that you go, movies you watch, what you watch on TV, the people that you spend your time with, how you spend your time, the things that you give yourself to. Your kids pick up on all of it. Yeah, hold these commands in your heart. Hold love in your heart and impress love on your children all the time. Live with the awareness that how you live your life, your kids are watching. They're paying attention and they're noticing. So what we're going to do is we are going to have some dedications. And the way this is going to work is I'm going to call up a family and I am going to say a blessing over the child, the son or the daughter. And then we're going to have some vows that the parents are going to take, kind of like a wedding ceremony. And then us as a congregation, we are going to take some vows as well because this is a communal act. This is a family thing and we're all in this together. And being a young parent myself, I need your support. I need all of you with me, with Steph, with our family in this journey together. And then we're going to have a few people pray for all the families as we close here today.